first degree. The Son of God hang on a hill, and hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify, and could have come from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I read the red letters, and the ground began to shake. Prison walls started falling, and I became a free man that day. It felt like lightning hit my veins, my dead heart began to beat. The breath of God filled my lungs, and the Holy Ghost awakened me. Yeah, the Holy Ghost awakened me when I read the red letters, and the ground began. Became a free man that day. For God so loved the whole wide world, sent His only Son to die for me. Arms spread wide for the whole wide world. His arms spread wide where mine should be. Jesus changed my destiny. Thank you, God, for red letters when the ground began to shake. The grace of God started falling, and I became a free man that day. The prison walls started falling, and I am a free man today. God so loved the whole wide world, sent His only Son to die for me. Arms spread wide for the whole wide world, His arms spread wide where mine should be. Jesus changed my destiny. Thank you, God, for red letters when the ground began to shake. The grace of God
and thank the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Hallelujah. That through him, by him, we have been made free. Oh, glory. Come on, worship him. Worship him. You have liberty right now in the name of Jesus. You have victory in the name of Jesus. You're no longer bound. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that red letters, the red blood of Jesus. Thank you for the ground shaking. The ground no longer holds us. The old man, the ground, the flesh has been broken off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you that you loved us that much. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Right on. Remember those last two choruses. Right on. Hallelujah. Great job, Justin. But thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you excited to be in the presence of the Lord? I want you to remember those last two verses that they led us in worship. That goes right with what's on my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. God is such a good God. Amen. Come on, He's a good God. Amen. Glory. We're going to go to Mark chapter 12 in just a minute. But open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let's lay a foundation. Now, think about that worship song that we were singing. And consider those two verses. That God loved you. God loved me. God loved the world so much that the red letter part of the Bible, the very blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of the sinless Lamb of God, is available to whosoever will. Amen? And the reason why that is available to you and I tonight is because God loves you. The Bible says that He loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says that no matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with, what you've done, what you haven't done, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Amen. And so, we've got to be in a place, in a position where we receive that love, but then we've got to be in a place where we live our lives by that love. 1 John chapter 2. Notice what he says starting in verse number 15. 1 John 2:15. The Word of God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man, any woman, any boy, any girl love the world, if they put the world first, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father." Of meaning prodigy, but is of offspring of the world. Notice verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he or she that doeth the will of God, say that's me. But he or she that doeth the will of God abideth, come on, abideth forever. Abideth forever. Ever. Hallelujah. Come on now. Abideth forever. Oh, glory. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in the service, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the freedom and love that falls free out of heaven in our lives, Lord. Leading us and guiding us in all truth for you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, let us still our minds and focus on you and open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, changing our hearts and our destiny, Lord.
Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for honoring the Word. Thank you for your presence here tonight. I'm so glad to be in the house of God with you. Let me get rid of some stuff here that I'm not going to use, obviously. And I want us just to be in the place tonight that we're just overwhelmed by the reality that the Creator of the universe loves you. He loves you. And he goes even further than that. It says that you are accepted in the Beloved. That excites me. Because there's been a lot of people and a lot of times, a lot of situations where people haven't understood me and they sure haven't accepted me. But God loves us and He understands us and He accepts us just the way we are. Don't you love it that God loves you with such a love that He says, come unto me. He doesn't say, go change. Go clean yourself up. Go do all of these things because He knows that you and I could not do that anyway. Amen? But He just said, come to Him. So tonight, I've never preached on this to my knowledge. I've taught on it, but never preached on it, and especially not in this manner. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. We see that there's a love in the world and there's a love that's from the Father. There's a world that's passing away, and there's a kingdom that's forever. Amen? There's a love that's true and genuine, and there's a love that is in and of lust. See, the world, they're all confused because we know we've all been there. We have confused what was lust, and we called it love. Amen? But because God has drawn you and I with His Spirit and He has revealed to us the sacrifice of His Son, we have the ability to love in a way that is pure and genuine, that is everlasting. And we have an opportunity to do something for God that He is longing and desiring for. Tonight, you're here because you long to please God. Amen? And tonight you have an opportunity to step up in a new way to be able to love God in a reality that's not a form. See, the Bible talks about, Paul wrote and warned Timothy about a form of godliness. But you and I, we have the opportunity to walk in the real thing. Amen? So in Mark chapter 12, they're having this great theological religious debate. And you notice it says in verse number 28, Mark 12, 28, and one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, that Jesus had answered them well, and he asked Jesus. In other words, this parable is in three of the four Gospels. So it tells you and I how important it is. Amen? I mean, it's repeated and repeated and repeated for us to be able to get a host of it. And you notice how most time when the religious people, the problem seekers would come to Jesus, when they'd ask Him a question, He would give them a question. But this here was so important that Jesus just dove right into the subject. So that causes you and I to be alert and to be ready to receive something. Amen? So he asked Jesus, he says, which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is hear. Hear. He said, I want you to be able to hear this. I want you to understand it. In the Old Testament, we've got a Hebrew word that's called Shema. And it has to do even with the law, if you would. And it means to hear with understanding, to hear with a willingness to obey, to hear with a willingness to live it out where others can see it. So He's fixing to give us a revelation of what it means to accept the love of God to the point that you love God and you love others. Amen? And when you and I get to that place, it's a place where the enemy cannot operate. He wants to. But the love of God is so strong because the love of God is being shed abroad and the blood of Jesus is being predominantly received and given. Amen? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Tonight, you and I need to be so excited because we've got God the Father. We've got God the Son, and we've got God the Holy Spirit, but they're all three in one. Amen? Perfect unity. See, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. And when you got born again, when you got born from above, you basically stopped having problems with your spirit because God dropped in you a brand new spirit. Our problem is in our soul, which your soul being your mind, will, and emotions, we could say your soul is your personality. It's how you express yourself. And your soul is just as special as somebody else's. Your expression of God and living in this world is critical. God made you the way He made you because He wanted you to express Him in your unique way. Amen? So here we are tonight. We hear that the first thing that Jesus says, I want you to hear this, I want you to understand it, I want you to get a grasp of it, that we are all three in one, and I'm telling you a way where in everything about your life can come together in unity. A house divided, Jesus said, well, what? What do you think is happening to the House of Congress? Quickly. We're going to see some times that you would never have dreamed possible. But that's why we've got to be one in the Lord. That's the only way you and I are going to make it until the fruition of what God has promised and said. Amen? So that's why we're talking about this tonight. We need to be in unity with Him. But He says, I want you to hear this. So if Jesus out of His mouth is saying that they're one, and remember Jesus prayed the prayer in John 17 for you and I to be one with each other and one with the Father the way that the Godhead is. So this is His will. Amen? And this is how we bring it to pass. He said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse number 30. He said, And thou shalt. Now this is how we get to the place of having unity. This is how we're one with the Lord. We can be one with each other. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart and with some of thy soul and with some of thy mind and with some of thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now notice, God is the God of all. And what we don't talk about today, because we've got into a place where we're so politically correct and where everybody gets a trophy. Nobody's left out. God is a God of all. The way that you get the prize is you do like Paul said, you look to the author and the finisher of your faith and you strive. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, you strive for the prize. Amen? That's how we get His all. And He won't settle for anything less. Tonight, the two words I keep hearing is all or nothing. All or nothing. God is fixing to do a purge. I tremble when I say this. It scares me. But there, listen to me very carefully by the Spirit of God. Don't listen to me, but you listen to what you hear in here. There is a purge that is fixing to take place in the so-called church of God. Right. We've got a lot of people playing church. We've got a lot of churches that are standing up to be a church, but they're not the church of Jesus Christ. And He is going to bring a purge on that. And the true and the genuine is going to shine forth. So we've got to be in the place and the position where we say, Lord, I know that You gave Your all on that cross. And because You gave Your all, as Sister Sharon said, agreeing in spirit with me, we've got to give our all. Amen? So here's how we're going to do this. We're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to let the Spirit of God lead us in this. Now, He said, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. This, you realize how important the heart is? That you look it up. Don't take my word for it. I'm going from memory. But something like 830-something times, maybe 832 times, you're going to see heart in the King James Version Bible. That's how important your heart is. Now, in the New Testament, it's translated from the Greek word cardia, but it has nothing to do with this blood pumper in your chest. It has nothing to do with this in my chest. The heart, in reality, is your spirit. Now, in the Bible, we have something that is called the principle of law of first mention. So you can look at the first time that God introduces a subject, and you can let that lay a teaching foundation for you to follow through the rest of the Bible. So hold your place right here, and let's go and let's look at the first time that the word heart is mentioned. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Genesis chapter 6. Verse number 5, the law of first mention. Let's look at the heart after the fall of mankind. Amen? Are you there? Genesis 6 and 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of what? His heart. Now notice this. I've been misreading this up for years. Of his heart, I would always say, was evil continually. That's not what it says. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That changes the whole emphasis of what I was getting out of the verse. Amen? So here we have the revelation that when sin come, all of a sudden, the heart that God said that we was to love Him with every part of it, every being of it, every ability of it, was of evil. Better said. So He had to do something. He had to do something for you. He had to do something for me, because I want you to just put your hand on your heart and realize that that heart was made for God. Amen? God made it for Himself. And the devil come and tried to mess everything up, but God said, uh-uh, I'm not giving up on that. I'm not quitting there. Amen? And we'll look at that. But before we do, I want us to look at the last place in the Bible where heart's mentioned. Go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Here we've got the fall of Babylon, and we've got the great whore. But look what it says in verse number 7. Remember, it tells us in verse 5 that the sins and iniquities had reached unto heaven. And look what it says in verse number 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. And notice this. For she saith in her heart. This is what the whore Babylon, this is what's being said. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no more widow and shall see no sorrow. Now, we could get in a theological debate, and we could spend a lot of time, and we don't have it, but I want you to see, when she says that she's no widow, what she's saying. Jesus didn't die for me. I'm not the bride that is lost. I'm not the bride that has lost a husband. There's no sorrow in me. I've got it all. This is in her heart. The world today, they're walking around in their sin, trying to push their sin on you and I, and they're proud of their sin, and they're saying, there's no consequence to my sin,
and I can do what I want for as long as I want, and I can get by with it. We're going to have to spend some time in the near future in our Wednesday night Bible studies looking at the oppression that is coming upon the Christian that we're just oblivious to. The little laws that they're making behind their back, the little things that they're doing that are taking away your right. The big companies that you and I are funding, they're against Jesus. They're against the church. Did you see today where PayPal, they want to eliminate all Christian conservatives from their base? How many people use PayPal? Come on. She said there's in her heart. There's a lot of things that's going on in the world's heart right now. They're showing a two-face. And so you and I, we've got to come back and we've got to love God with all of our heart where we can know the truth. Amen? Because when you love God, He brings secrets to you. He whispers things in your ear that nobody else hears. You're not going down defeated. You're not going down at all. You're going up. Every day you're getting a little higher until one day we're going to step into the cloud of life, the bread of life, the breath of life. We're going to be changed. But until then, we're here to witness and testify. We're here to speak words by the unction of the Holy Ghost that cannot be naysayed, cannot be denied. We're here to be a witness. Amen? A witness unto death, but not of death. Amen? All right. So, God looked in the book of Genesis, and He said it was very good. He had Adam and Eve, and everything was wonderful. And then sin come. And when sin come, we've seen how it progressed so rapidly from Genesis chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 6. And God had to do something. So what did He do? He said, well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, but I've got an answer to it. I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send Jesus to where they don't have to be a sinner, but they can be a saint. Hallelujah. We can be sanctified, set aside. We can come up out of sin, be above sin. And God said, I'm going to do something about their heart. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Now, I want you to see something here just for a second, and then we're going to get a little deeper into this. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 11, there was a prophecy that's going forth. And notice in verse number 4, he says, therefore prophesy against them, prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak. And thus saith the Lord, thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into what? Into your mind, every one of them. And he talks about all these things that they have done, all the sin that had come in and on their life. Tonight, you and I, we've all been through things. But the temptation and the sin is common to all men. And so God knows how to take care of everybody. Amen? And He can take care of you and He can take care of me. Now, think about that. Now, drop down to verse number 19. Ezekiel 11 and 19. And notice, we need to get so... have such an attitude of gratitude to our Father. It says in verse 19, and I will give them what? Mark it down in your Bible, highlight it in your heart. God said, I will give them one heart. Hear, O Israel, there is one God. And because of your love, I'm going to tell you how you can be one spirit, soul, body, even in strength. Tonight, there does not have to be any division in our house. We do not have to crumble and fall in any area of our life because God is doing a work in you. Amen. He's doing a work in me. He says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh. What's going to happen when that happens? That they may walk in my statutes. How many times have you talked to somebody and you've told them about Jesus And the first thing they'll say is, I can't live it. I mean, if we wrote that down every time we heard it, we would have a notebook full. Guess what? That's the first thing I said. But here's what God says. God says, I'm going to give you a heart, and in this heart, you're going to be able to walk in my statutes, verse 20. You're going to be able to keep my ordinances. You're going to be able to do them. You're going to become my people, and I will be your God. That's how much God loves me. That's how much God loves you. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter if we trip and stub our toe tomorrow. What matters is God is doing a work in His people. And He's telling us how to overcome. He's telling us how to walk in victory. He's telling us how to be purged from the old man, the old way of thinking, the old way of talking, the limitation of sin, and to come into a reality. You have got to look up into heaven and raise your hands to God and say, thank you, God. You put something in me that is of you. Come on, kind after kind. You're not what the devil says you are. You're not what the world says you are. You're not what the sinner says you are. What you are a creation of God that has a brand new heart, a brand new spirit. That's why you can love God with all of it. Amen? So the little lies of the devil, the little pulls of the flesh, all of those things have to fall to the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Now, God said, I will give them one heart. He said, I will take out the stony heart. Don't worry about it. When God says, I will do something, that's the strongest assertion that you can have in the English language. So, here, I kept trying to figure out when Donna kept trying to get me to go to church and to come to Jesus. I kept trying to figure out, I've got all these things in here. How am I going to get them out of there? And she said, let's just go to church. I can't go to church. I can't talk to Jesus. If I can't even tell you half of the stones that's in here. Am I talking to anybody? But God said, I know every stone. I know the root cause, and I know the fruit of it. But I love you past that, and I've got the answer for you. But I'm a God that is a God of perfect order. And until you give me permission, I can't reach my hand in there. But if you'll give me permission, I'll reach my hand in your heart, and I'll pull that out that's like a stone, that's like an offense, that's like a defeat, that's like a hindrance, that's like a pulling that would keep you in a place of defeat, and I'll lift you up.
Amen.
Come on. And we let God do it. He gets the glory. And we get to rest in Him. Amen? All right. Go back with me to Mark chapter 12. Now notice. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. Now, immediately when we think about that, we think about our wife or a girlfriend or our children or our grandchildren or different things that we'd like to do. And the devil says, God gave us things. And God gave us love for people. And He gave you a personality that we're going to look at in a moment that you are to love different things, because in those things that God gives you, you can use those things to reach other people. Amen? And we got to stop letting the devil convolute, distort, darken the blessings of God and try to make you and I feel guilty about the blessings of God and get things out of order again. Amen? You can love God first, and you can love what He has placed in and around you second. Amen? And this is the way that we walk in victory, and we don't have our eyes darkened because our heart is darkened. Hold your place. Romans chapter 1, real quick. Romans chapter 1, a lot of things going on. Romans chapter 1, notice about verse number 20. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You know, you and I, we see the creation of God. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If you don't have a preacher, the creation is preaching to you. That's what finally got my grandpa to the place where he listened to what we had been saying. Because he would go out and he'd watch the stars. He'd watch the moon. And he said, there's something more. There's something behind all of this. I can remember him telling me that when I was a little bitty boy, but I didn't know that he was dealing and struggling with that even then. Amen? But notice, here's why I'm making here. Verse 21. Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now see, you and I, when we don't recognize God for who He is and what He is, then darkness starts working. But tonight, you and I have got a new heart, a brand new spirit. I mean, mark down 2 Corinthians 5:17 and just let that be where you can paraphrase it to where it means something to you. Because when you're in Christ Jesus, you become a new creature, a new creation. That means your spirit is born again, made brand new. That's who you are. And you need that when the devil starts bringing up all of these things. And you stand in that. Amen? So you can love God with all your spirit, with all your heart. You can do that. All right. Now let's look quickly. He said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of thy soul. Now, this soul is your personality, is your ability to express yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I think in the Bible, we've got a lot of characters. And I'm not just talking about a lot of people, I'm talking about characters. They express themselves. God wants your expression. Because you realize the way that you express Him is in a way that somebody else can see Him to where they wouldn't hear somebody else. So that's a good thing. So He says, and thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, you know, the soul is almost as important. You know, it's in there 400 or 500 times. But let's look at it. Let's look at the first time it's mentioned. In Genesis chapter 2, you could quote the verse, but let's read it together. What did God do when He touched man? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and what happened? Man become a living soul. Now, that means that God took some of Himself and put in man, and that living soul, that nephesh, that breathing creature, had the ability to express God. So the way that I am not fragmented, the way that I am one with God and one with His will and His plan, and the way that I know that I'm going to always succeed, is that I love Him with all of my expression. My mind, my will, and my emotions. I let God be God in those. See, some people are passive. Some people are passionate. Don and I kid Kayla all the time. It doesn't take much to get her passion flowing. To get her, if there's somebody being done wrong, am I right? She's not here, you're safe. She gets passionate. But then we can also, on the other side of it, we can be very passive. God needs both. God needs both. And the way that we can love Him with all of that is we stop letting the world, the devil, try to change us. Just be who God made you to be. That's how you love Him with all of your expression. See, somebody may come up here at this altar, and they may just put their head on the altar, and they never move. You may have somebody here who's shaking all over the place. There's no difference in how they love God. It's the expression. But if I tried to imitate one or the other, I'm not loving God. I'm trying to express something that's not me. I've seen people who would cry uncontrollably, and I've seen a person had one tear. Both pleased God. We can't put people in a box. We've got to let this church be a personality of characters. See, we're in a testing right now. Now, God doesn't tempt any man. But He tested Abraham. And right now, you're in a test. See, God is seeing whether He can find us faithful to be able to do what He wants to do in this community. Because when He starts doing what He wants to do, you're going to feel like you're out of control. Now, let me tell you ahead of time what's going to happen. And it's going to be whether you say yes to God or not, whether it happens, because God's a perfect gentleman. Amen. You're going to lose your parking place. You're going to lose your seat. You're going to lose maybe your feeling of your position from experience and from time. Because and the emphasis is going to change. But God won't do any of that if you say no. It's whether you say yes. It's whether I say yes. And so I want you to be very cautious about this love that God is checking to see that is there in purity. Because He wants us to love those who are without to the point to where He can bring them in. And they sit down right beside you, and they don't look like you. He loves them. Guess what? You and I, we don't have the market on the way you're supposed to look. The way you're supposed to dress. They're going to even say some things you just say. But there's nothing wrong with what they're saying as of yet. Because God's doing the work. I want you to pray with me and I want you to believe with me and give God permission to do what He wants to do. If we'll do that, you're going to see miracles untold. And you're going to get to be a part of it. You're going to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. You're going to see the lame walk. You're going to see people put back together. That everything has been taken away from them. But God knows where every part of it is, and He's going to bring it back. It's going to be so uncomfortable to the flesh, but it's going to be so right in here because we love God first. But God needs you. He needs you here. He needs your faithfulness, and He needs your willingness. Amen? So this expression, where was I at? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy expression. Now, we're not going to cover all these tonight because obviously we ain't going to have time, but I want us to get this expression in a place we can understand it. Go with me to Revelation 18:14. We was in 18:7 a while ago. Let's see the last place it's used. Remember the law of first mention, the law of last mention works together perfectly. Revelation 18:14 says, "And the fruits that thy soul," talking about this fake church system, this Babylon whore system, "and the fruits thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. But where are they departed from?" What did the first part of the verse say? "And the fruits that thy..." The world is going to lose its ability to express hatred for God, perversion, lust, sin, all of those things. God's going to say, enough is enough is enough. And in a moment of time, everything that people have sold their soul for, that they have sold their loved ones for, do you realize? Through internal leaked documents, have you been keeping up with this, the situation with the abortions? Now, we may have made a mistake. God forgives mistakes. Amen? There is no unforgivable sin that can take place right now. There's one Jesus talked about, but there's a timeline and a time frame when the unpardonable sin can take place. We could get into another debate, and I don't want to do that. But you... So, you know, whatever sin we may have committed, it's forgivable. Amen? So we're not jumping on... I don't preach on certain sins. I preach on grace. Grace takes us out of sin. But I want us to be aware of what's happening right now. You realize why they're pushing the abortion up to the last second? Here's a baby that it was aborted at 20 weeks. That baby, the parts of it, is worth $25,000. Here's a baby that was do, and they abort that baby. They bring that baby out, but it's still alive, and so the doctor breaks its neck and sticks it in a solution to drown it. And the parts of that baby is worth $50,000. This is not about a woman's right to choose. This is not about health. This is about the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what this is about. And these people who are lying, these politicians who are making these laws and doing all of these things, they're of the devil, and I don't care to tell them that. It's not right. I'm not speaking Republican or Democrat. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about people who are working for the devil. It's ungodly, it's unholy, and God's going to judge it. Amen? And the fruits that thy soul lusted after depart, God's going to take care of it. Amen? He's going to take care of it. There's a lot of expression that's going on that's not of God. But guess what? God's fixing to raise up His church. The church of the living God is going to be set on fire. And the things that happened in the book of Acts in the early church is going to manifest in the earth. Jesus is going to be exalted. And people are going to know that there is a God on the throne and there's a God in your heart. Amen? It's going to happen. Let's close with this verse. 1 Kings 17. This is the power of expression. And this is what the church is going to express. That Jesus came not only to give life, but to give it more abundantly, to take back from the devil. Amen? 1 Kings 17, verse number 17. Here's the story of Elijah. Elijah didn't die. Elijah's coming back. Elijah's one of the two witnesses that's going to die in the streets. Amen? And then Jesus is going to appear. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness, this is 1 Kings 17, 17. And his sickness was sore, and there was no what? There was no nephesh. There was no breath in him. There was no expression. When you and I are lost and undone, there's no expression for God. We're a walking dead man. Amen? And we need the Holy God to breathe into us. We need a man and a woman of God to bring the truth to us. We need somebody to touch us with the anointing of the Spirit of God to speak life into us. Amen? And we have an example. We're going to see it happen. Verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now remember, this is before the cross. This is before grace. This is before the Holy Ghost. She didn't have the Spirit of God like you've got. She doesn't understand. Amen? Verse 19. And he, Elijah, said unto her, this little lady, this little mother, give me thy son. Give me thy son. Listen by the Holy Ghost tonight. God's asking you to give him something. It's dead as a doornail. But if you'll give it to him, he's going to breathe on it. He's going to breathe on it. He's going to bring it to life. Come on now. Don't you get distracted. You listen. The Spirit of God is talking right now. I hear him. I feel him. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He doesn't want any dead thing in our life. Amen? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took, Elijah took the boy, he took the son out of her bosom. You and I, we've nursed and nursed and nursed and nursed some things, and they're dead. We gave it all we could give it, and it ain't worked. God says, give it to me. I want to give you an expression. I want to bring life to where there is no expression, to where there's no ability. I want people to know that I'm alive in the earth and I'm working in you and through you. He took her out of her bosom and he carried him up into a loft. He carried him to the upper room. What happened in the upper room? Come on, what happened in the upper room? The Holy Ghost fell, amen? There was fire from heaven, and everybody was changed. They got a new language. They got a new speech to speak the things of God, amen? God's wanting to breathe on us afresh tonight because He's wanting you and I to speak life instead of death. He's wanting us to light things up that are cold and let the fire of God make them usable, amen? And he carried him up into the aloft, into the upper room where he abode, and he laid him upon his bed, the place of rest. Amen. And he cried, verse 20, unto the Lord. Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? Now remember, we've got to divide the time frame. Verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. Now this word stretched, it's the same word you read about in Daniel, but in different places where they stretched out a line. Right. It was a measuring line. It's the line of truth. It's the line of God. Come on now. It's the line of truth. It's L-I-N-E, the line of God. When things are wrong in your life and wrong in my life, God has a straight line to His throne, and that straight line is through Jesus Christ, and it takes what's wrong and it makes it right. He laid on Him 3 times. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Amen? He come up out of that grave victorious. He come up out of that grave alive and well. He come up out of that grave victorious to give you and I a victory, to speak life into us, that we would not have any death, but where we can have an expression of love. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's what? Soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy what? All your soul, all your expression. Let this child's soul come into him again. God wants his children to have an expression, to have the breath, the nephesh breath of God. Amen? He wants you and I to breathe out the things of God. And the Lord, what did he do? He heard. God is listening to you tonight. You may have not spoke a word out, but you've said it in your heart. God's listening to you, amen? And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul, what the breath, the expression of the child came into him again, and he revived. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, God wants to speak tonight. And something that is dead in your life, in my life, he wants to breathe on it. He wants it to line up with Jesus, the Word, and come out of alignment with the disorder working of the enemy. Amen? Quickly. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See thy son liveth. See it. Tonight, what do you need to see? What do I need to see? You got to see it where you can grab it. You got to see it where you can say it. You got to see it where you can receive it. Amen? What do you need to see tonight? What do you need to see? Real quick, the same word here as this breath, Psalms 150. We're going to close with this verse. Psalms 150, where the breath is. Verse number 6, I believe it is. You quote the verse, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath, nephesh, has an expression, soul, mind, will, and emotions. Let everything that hath breath, what does it do? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Tonight, if there's anything in your life, in my life, that is not a praise to God, tonight's the night to come. Come to this altar, lay our heart down, and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you have gave me a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, and you want me to love you with all of my spirit, but I'm having some issues in my expression. I'm having some issues in my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I want you to breathe on it. I want you to line it up to the Word of God by Jesus Christ. I want everything that's dead to come alive. God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Would you come? Run to this altar. Run to this altar and say, God, here I am tonight. I want life in this area. I want victory in this area. I want a change in this area. Come on, God's getting you ready. He's getting me ready where we can get into a place and a position to help the people that God's bringing in here. He's going to change you before He brings them in. He's going to change me before He brings them in. There's some people in here tonight. You have some struggles, some issues in your life. They're dead, but that dead area is controlling you. And tonight, God wants to speak life. Would you come? Oh, would you come in the name of Jesus Christ? I admonish you with all of my heart. God will in no wise. He said, call unto me, and I will answer. He said, I'll answer before you even finish speaking. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Would you come? Don't you leave here tonight with anything that hasn't been breathed on by the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.